Y'all ready?
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bishop Daniel Harley, the resident pastor of Christ Our Hope Cathedral, Peter Mansfield, and overseer of the KZN Council of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley is a son of Bishop Dag Heward Mills, the founder and bishop of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley has a strong passion for missions and evangelism and has preached the gospel over many years. Join us now for a life-changing experience.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands, let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to come before your word. Thank you for your mighty Holy Spirit. Speak to us in a special way today. In the name of Jesus, let every ear that hears me be blessed, and let every eye that sees me be blessed, because of what you intend to do. In the name of Jesus, let your word have free course in our midst today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we rebuke the devil for the sake of your children. We arrest him and declare that he will have no way in this place this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord, silence every voice in our minds and open the eyes of our hearts so that we will see you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together and you may be seated in the presence of God. Apache, amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here with you this morning. It's always nice when we come to Apache, because it's an exciting church. I said this church is an exciting church. And it's always nice to be here. Amen. I know today God has something special for all of us. Today is Salvation Sunday. It's a day that we are celebrating salvation. It's also a day that we are believing God that a lot of souls will be won for Christ. Amen. And I'm preaching to you for a very short time, but I know God has something for you. Amen. Yesterday we were in Edendale for Jesus, Savior of the World Crusade, and God blessed us mightily. God visited us. We had a good time there. Souls were saved. We had miracles. The Lord was with us. Amen. This morning also, I believe the Lord is with us. Amen. So maybe you came here with a burden. Jesus Christ is here to save, to heal, and to deliver. Amen. Bible says in, I think, Psalm 120, verse 7, that he sent his word to heal their diseases and to deliver them from their destruction. So this morning, God's word is coming to heal you, is coming to deliver you. I said it's coming to deliver you from destruction. Amen. If there's any danger in front of you, trust the word of God. That it has come, it has been sent to deliver you. Job 5:19, the Bible says that he will save you in 6 ways, even in 7 ways. Have you seen that scripture before? Look, he shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall be no evil touch thee. There shall no evil touch thee. It says God will deliver you in 6 ways. Even if 6 is not enough, he will do one more. I said he will do one more. Yeah. 6 different ways God will deliver you. Even if you are still trapped, you know, sometimes you can be delivered, healed, and then it's left with some small, just your ear keeps twitching and twitching. You are healed, okay, but your ear is still twitching. God says, I will do a 7th miracle to save you. Today is your day of miracles and deliverance because of God's word. I may not lay my hands on you. I'll definitely pray for you. But I may not lay my hands on you. But God's word, The power of God is in God's word. And as God's word comes forth, believe God that deliverance is coming your way. Let me get a good amen. Amen. Wonderful. Mark chapter 8 is the piece of scripture I want to share with you. Mark, take this scripture for yourself for the week. Just be reading it. Look, it's almost like the Bible, when you close it and you open it, they put a new scripture. How many of you have seen this Job scripture before? From the day you were born up to today. I saw it for the first time this morning as I was reading my Bible. Yeah. That God will deliver us in 6 ways. Even if 7, he will make sure that no evil touches us. What a word. Clap for the word of God. Clap for the word of God. Well, Mark chapter 8, I'm reading from verse number 36 and verse 37. Okay, it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Let's read it together. For what? Funda Sisi, Funda Baba. There was a girl graduating called Sifunda Sufanda. It's a guy. What was the name? Sufundo Sifunda. Wow. Classic, eh? Sifundo. What does Sifundo mean? A lesson. And then Sifunda? We are not sure. Okay. Sifunda means we are not sure. This girl is Sutu. Who are the Zulus? Zuma and Co. Okay. Sifundo means what? Lesson Sufunda. Oh, a lesson learned. Wow, what a classic name. Very colorful, very nice. Sifundo Sifunda. Who's that one? Which of you is Sifundo Sifunda? Oh, that nice guy. Wow, God bless you. He has a smooth face like my face. Yeah. No, don't laugh. It's not a joke. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm surprised you are laughing. Which of us are you jealous of, me or him? Because his face is as smooth as mine. Or you say mine is not smooth. 50 years, so 50 years, not 34. 50 years. Yeah, now you are surprised. Shame on you. Let's read. Lesson learned. You have a very nice name. Let's read. It says, "For what shall it profit?" Let's go. Let's read.
"For what shall it profit
if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Verse 37. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this is Jesus talking, and he's talking about the soul of a man, the soul of a human being. And he says, what gain will a man have if he gets the whole world and loses his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What will be the right price for the soul of a man? This is the question Jesus is asking in verse 37. But put verse 36 there. So it says, if you gain the whole world, if you put the whole world on one side, it's still not enough for the soul of one human being. What is the whole world? The whole world is Cape Town. Let's start from home. The whole world is Pietermaritzburg. Next door is Durban. So Pietermaritzburg plus Durban plus where again? Cape Town plus Johannesburg. All the gold in Johannesburg plus Johannesburg plus all the diamonds in Kimberley. Kimberley, diamonds, everything. Where again? Limpopo with all its platinum. Where again? In Mpumalanga. What is in Mpumalanga? In Mpumalanga. The land, all the land of Mpumalanga. Kruger, all the animals at Kruger National Park. All the coal, Sasolburg and all those places. Okay, good. Then where again? You don't know anywhere in South Africa. Port Elizabeth. Port Shepstone, Paris. Paris. Okay. Now remember that all that is just South Africa. Add Zimbabwe. Add Botswana. Add Lesotho, which is inside of, I don't know, Lesotho, which other country is here? Eswatini, Mozambique, where else? Namibia. Okay, now you've added Southern Africa. Let's start to go up. Zambia, Congo. Congo is one of the richest nations in the world, or should be one of the richest nations in the world. But leadership and colonization has made us what it is. Congo, Nigeria, Ghana, all the countries in Africa. Do you get it? Now let's go. We are putting the world together. And we are looking for the what can buy your soul. Now, let's go to Europe. Do you know Europe? What are some of the countries in Europe? Italy, Belgium, Germany, Romania. You see, mention the countries that we know, because these guys are there. They are thinking, what is... Man, Europe. Look, how many of you know England? How many of you know France? Where Mbappe comes from? Yes, that's where we are. How many of you know Portugal? Where Cristiano Ronaldo... How many of you know Spain? Where Real Madrid is? Somebody say Real Madrid. Yes, where they are. Spain. Say Real Madrid, Moss. Lizzie, where Madrid is? I'm just reminding these guys. Yeah. Double, treble. We are watching you. You may end up with a single or nothing. Then America. How many of you have heard of America? Where Donald Trump and George Bush come from? Add it to the list we are making. Canada, then South America. South America is where Brazil, Argentina. Do you know Lionel Messi? Where he comes from? It's a small country called Argentina. And Brazil is a big country where Neymar comes from. And you see the small country bullying the big country. Anyway. All these places, just if you put it together, it cannot be given in exchange for you and for your soul. It cannot be given. If we put all those countries on one side and we can come, you this little come. Yes. Cut, come. Cut. You see this small little girl? She's called Cat, right? Yeah. Cat here. If you put all these things we have mentioned on one side and you put Cat on one side, it is still not enough to buy or purchase her soul. This is what Jesus is saying. Now, whose report will we believe? You will say, oh, but man, forgive me. You don't need to even give me money. Just give me one stand at Mbali. I'll give up. Cat. Where's your mother? There she is. Give me one stand at... Where did you take us to go and see a stand? Swaimani or someplace. Give me one stand there. I'll give up Cat now and take the stand. But when it comes to Jesus, he said, give me the whole world. I will still not take it. I'll just take the soul of this little girl. It's more valuable to me than the whole world. Thank you very much. So why is a soul so important? Which is why I want to talk. So I said, hey Jesus, why will you take the soul of this little girl? Why would you take my soul in exchange for the whole world? What makes a soul so important? Why is a soul so important? That's what we want to look at today in 40 minutes, and then we'll bring our service to a close. Number one, your soul is important because, tell your neighbor, because My soul is important, my neighbor, because my soul is that part. My soul is the inner man or the real me, which will live forever. Your soul is important because, number one, your soul is the real you. And two, your soul will live forever. A person's soul is the real person, not the flesh that we see. You are a soul, and then you have a body. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of man, and man became a living soul." So God had finished forming you, made you beautiful as you are, handsome as you are, created your ears, your nose, all the nice parts which you look at in the mirror when you update your status, you take picture. God had created all that, but you were still useless. You and I were still useless. It is when God breathed into man, and the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground. So God had finished forming you. By this point, God had finished forming you, but you and I were useless. We were dead. But the Bible says, he breathed into man the breath of life. And then when he breathed into man that breath of life, man became a living soul. That the thing that made you, the real you, God breathed it into you. Not the forming of your head. I mean, seriously, even some of us, if you look at the shape of your head, if your head is you, it's serious. Yeah. If your head is you, that's serious. But God did all that. When God was doing all this creation, God was creating a house where he will store you in. When God was, he was forming a house. He was creating a house. He was building a housing. You see, when you take the cell phone, there's a case. Do you see? If you take this phone, the case is outside. You know, one day, I dropped my phone. It was the days when iPhone 4, or those type of iPhones. Yes. I dropped it. And the screen smashed. And I said, my phone is spoiled. So I told somebody, now my phone is dead. And the person told me, I know a guy. I said, what? I know a guy. If you go and see him, he can raise your phone from the dead. So I went to see this guy. It was an Indian guy. When I saw this Indian guy, I told him, this is my phone. My phone is spoiled. My phone cannot work again. He said to me, you can't kill an iPhone. I was surprised. He said, you can't kill the phone. I said, oh, but you can see that the front is smashed into pieces and into almost ashes. He said, oh, no. He said to me, that is not your phone. I was shocked. It was the first time hearing that. He said, what you see is not your phone. Then he said, leave the phone here. Just, do you have anything to do in the mall? I said, yes. He said, walk around the mall and come. So I went to walk around the mall. But I was still not convinced. So when I came back, he showed me my phone, which has been opened. To my surprise, the phone itself was some small thing inside this thing. Just small. When they open, you'll be surprised. Your phone is very tiny. Then he said, this is your phone. It's okay. I'll just put a new casing around it and we'll turn it on. And he put a case around it. When he pressed on, boom, my phone was back to life. He raised my phone from the dead. Yeah. So many of us think that this is you. But the real you is the you that God breathed into your nose, that entered into you, and then you stood up. So your case had to stand up. That's the part of you that will live forever. So in the story of, I think, Lazarus and the rich man, in Luke 15, the Bible says, why is my phone, my thing taking screenshots? The Bible says that, A certain man, no, there was a certain rich man, who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who fed sumptuously every day. And there was a poor beggar who was at his table, desiring to eat the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Father Abraham afar off, he cried, he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, for send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." This story tells us there were two people. Both of them died. Whether you are rich or poor, one day you will die. Many times when we read the Bible, we have a skewed look at rich people. Oh, rich people, something bad will happen to them. Not necessarily. Don't let your poverty make you hate rich people. Rather, believe God to become a rich man. Also, one day when you become rich, you will hate yourself. So the poor man died. And the rich man also died. But when the poor man died, he was carried. The real human being inside of him, not his body, the real human being was carried and taken into Abraham's bosom. Then the rich man also died. When he died, he was buried. But as soon as he was buried, he arrived in hell. When you die, you either arrive in heaven or hell. Now, your body will still be around. We may not even have had your funeral, but you would have arrived in heaven or in hell. The body will still be. I mean, think of the last person, the last funeral you went to. If you go to the grave now, you will see the body there. But the real person, the soul of the person will be out of the body. Long as soon, you see, what makes a person die is the soul coming out of the person. As soon as your soul comes out of you, you are dead. The body has no, the breath that came from God will be out of you. Your body will be lying there. And God created the body. He saw that the body is not moving. That's why he had to come and breathe into the body. That's why your soul is important. Your soul will live on. That's the real you. It will live on. That's why your soul and my soul is very, very important. That's why Jesus said, if you put the whole world here and you put a person's soul here, I will choose the person's soul. It's more valuable. It's more valuable. Number two reason. Let's go to number two reason. Number two reason why your soul is important. Your soul is important because Jesus said, nothing is valuable enough to give in exchange for your soul. Matthew 16:22-26, it says, "For what is a man profited if he will gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for your soul?" Nothing is valuable enough to be exchanged for your soul. Maybe you are in the church, maybe you are born again, maybe you are not born again. God is talking to you that value your soul because your soul is important. If you are not in the church, God is calling you to surrender your life to him. Surrender that soul which will live forever to him. If you are in the church, God is telling you, take your soul in seriously. Because sometimes we are in the church, but we are playing games with our souls. We are playing games as Christians. We are just there thinking, oh, I do what I like. When I come on Sunday, we'll take communion. My sins will be washed away. But take your soul seriously. Take your soul seriously. Make sure your soul does not perish. My brother, my sister, make sure nothing, you can't exchange. Some of us can exchange our souls, our values for just a bottle of Hennessy. Exchange your soul for a cell phone. Exchange your soul for tiny, tiny things. Just for airtime. Just for electricity. Just for millis. Maize meal. To make putu. We use millis for putu, ne? Yes. To make putu. Then you are trading your soul. Just for sometimes just to fit in.
I'm talking about Christians, just to fit in with your friends. So you sell your soul. You give your soul in it. I mean, if you at least sell it for the whole world, because Jesus, when he was measuring, he started with the whole world. But you are selling it for just to fit in with your friends. Sunday you are in church. Friday you are at the club. Grooving and jiving.
Church is very quiet. The church is very quiet. Because I can read scriptures in the sky. So, oh yes, he's talking to Satan. Now I'm bringing it to your doorstep. Open the door and knock, knock, knock. I hear if you get an email with the title knock, knock, it means it's a Jehovah's Witness person working from home. But I'm knocking on your door. Knock, knock, open up. Stop playing games with your soul. At the end of the day, that's all that will matter. Your soul. That's what will matter. I sang in the choir, your soul. I gave a lot of offerings, your soul. I came to church for that Salvation Sunday, your soul. That's what God will require from you. That's going to be. I was watching a pastor preach at dawn today. He said, today's church, we don't talk about sin. Because church members don't want us to talk about sin anymore. Church members want to feel comfortable in the church and live in sin. But as you live in sin, your soul is dying. Bible says the soul that sin shall. Another reason why your soul is important. Now let me skip and go forward. Another reason why your soul is important is because your soul is what will die. What does it mean for a soul to die? Jesus will send it to hell, to burn in hell. Will separate it from God. The soul, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, I think at least Ezekiel 18, the soul that sinneth shall die. Your soul is that part of you that shall die. After this body is dead, after judgment, that is the part that God will condemn to hell. That's why you should take your soul seriously. Hello? Yeah, church members and visitors are alike are quiet. Look, church, Jesus is coming one day, and what will matter is your soul. It's your soul. It's your soul. It's not the number of hairstyles you did. The number of, you know, we did a lot of hairstyles in the town. Who are the airport stars? You look very nice in the child. We smile in the child. We come to the police. When that day comes, your smiles will not value at all. It's your soul. What you have done with your soul and to your soul, that will matter. Your soul. Today, God is calling on you to take your soul seriously. Your soul is important because, number five, your soul is important because God is so important to God that God has assigned a shepherd over your soul. A shepherd. 1 Peter 2:25, the Bible says, "For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." Your soul is important. Are you Eugene? Yeah, Eugene, your soul is so important that God has appointed somebody to watch over it. That is what we call your shepherd. He said, you have returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Somebody who watches over your soul. Now, when something is not valuable, there's no security over it. You only put security over valuable things. Even in your house, you will see the things that are not valuable. We keep them outside. No security for them. But the valuable things, we keep them inside. And we lock the door when we are going to sleep. When we are going out, we lock the door. Because we feel that those things are valuable and those things are important. So we put a security on it. Even when you have something where you put it in a safe, then you put the safe in a wall, then you lock the safe, then you keep, even the safe is locked, you keep it in a house. And you lock the house. And you set an alarm. You buy dogs. Lock the gate.
Tell the neighbors to keep an eye. Because it's valuable. You know the value of something by how much security we put on it. Church of God, I want to ask you a question. How much security have you even put over yourself? You see girls in the church. I like the Aibo. Say it again. You see girls in the church. Ashes are sleeping with you. Media people are sleeping with you. Film stars are sleeping with you. Sleeping with you in the film and out of the film. Yeah. Even first timers are sleeping with you. Oh, Bishop, it's not possible. One day. I asked a brother, how did you start your relationship? Because they were facing so many problems, I felt something was wrong. He said to me, I came to church for the first time. And when I came to church, the pastor or the shepherd mistakenly asked a sister to walk me to my rest. Fast forward, by the time she walked me to my rest and came back, I had slept with her. Yes, after servicing. Yeah. So, I came again the next Sunday. I asked, when is the next service? Then I came back, hoping that as I have come back, sweetheart, can you sit up for me? I'll give you Coca-Cola after church. Thank you very much. Okay. Is that the best you can do for me on this day? I'll take it like that. I'll take half price. Anyway, I'll give you half a cup also. So, as I was saying, so I came the next Sunday. And that same sister is the one who walked me. So it kept happening for some time. And then I decided to stay in the church because the benefits of the church... I said the benefits of the church were illustrious. So I decided to stay in the church. And then after some time, I decided to be serious in the church. So I turned it into a relationship. I said to myself, no wonder they are struggling. Because every day problems. Look, some of their problems, when you listen to it, that's where you understand that there are curses in this world. Yeah. You see them fighting over foolishness. Things that have nothing to do with what they will eat this afternoon, they'll be fighting. Why? Because the foundation of the relationship was not the right thing. So you see people in the church trading their soul for some, no secret, no protection. It's like, oh, you can just, I saw you today. I saw you. Yes. Believe me, I saw you. Not prophetically, not in a dream, not in a vision. Are you the one who brought her to? I saw you hugging her on the street. Were you not the one you hugged for about 1 minute, 52 seconds? Did you not hug for a long time? You and this girl. Yeah, I saw you. Yeah, I saw you. Under the fig tree, I saw you. Hallelujah. No, 1 minute, 52 seconds. We were counting. That's how I know. I said, these people must be so happy to see each other. So it's when I got closer, I realized, oh, they are coming. My son told me, oh, they are, this girl is in church. I said, oh, wow, nice. I'll see them today. What are you giving in for your soul? God has put security on your soul to protect your soul because it's important to God. When something is valuable to you, you protect it. You keep it. Your soul is valuable to God. He has appointed a security guard over your soul. What is a man's soul? Why is it so important? It's important to God. Next one, quickly. I'm giving you about seven. If I've reached seven, just say amen, we close. Number seven. Okay. Your soul is important because it can be destroyed. Matthew 10:28, the Bible tells us, and fear not them which kill the body. Don't be afraid of anybody who can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear he which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Your soul can be destroyed. It can be destroyed in hell. That's why you have to watch over your soul. That's why your soul is important to God. It can be destroyed in hell. It can go to hell and be destroyed there. Many of us don't think about, we think more about our body than about our soul, what is inside us. Yeah, that's why we wake up. You won't read your Bible. You won't pray, nothing. You won't sit there and say, okay, this 1 hour, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible. You are even surprised when you come to church when pastor talks about reading the Bible. Is the Bible supposed to be read? What did you think it was? To be a door stopper? The Bible is for the pastors. It's for everybody to feed your soul. To feed your soul. You feed your body. You feed your body. But you don't feed your soul. No. Your soul can be destroyed in hell. Young man, young lady, your soul can be destroyed in hell. Yeah. It can be destroyed. What are you doing with your life? Everything you do affects your soul, either negatively or positively. How are you affecting your soul? You feed your body to grow. Why don't you feed your soul to also grow? To grow, that your soul and your spirit will grow up and mature. Next one, number 9. Your soul is important because your soul can die. I told you, Ezekiel 18:4. The soul that sinneth shall die. Number 10, your soul is important because it can go to hell. It can go to hell. The soul of a human being is what goes to hell. When the rich man died in the story we read, it is his soul that went to hell. It went to hell. It was separated from God eternally and sent to hell. As for your body, it will remain here. When it dies, it will remain here. But your soul will come out with your spirit out of your body and will come to face the judgment of God. And when your soul is not born again, it will end up in hell, where it will be tormented eternally. But if your soul is saved, it will end up in heaven, where it will be in the presence of God. Forever. Take your soul seriously. A soul is a soul and is precious to God. No matter what soul it is precious. Your soul is precious to God. I came to tell you that your soul is precious to God. It can go to hell. Why would you allow your soul to go to hell? Why would you let your soul go to hell? But you'll be surprised that you may be sitting here this morning and your soul is going to hell. And yesterday at the crusade, I told the people, one day, each one of us will stand before Jesus. And when you stand before Jesus, Jesus will remind you, if you are going to hell and Jesus says, go to hell, you will say, why? And why didn't you give me a chance? He will remind you of the 21st of April when a tall, dark guy came to tell you, pointing his finger, and you're telling you that your soul can go to hell. Your soul is important to God. Take your soul seriously. God will remind you of it. Watch this finger. One day, God will remind you of it. Yeah, one day God will remind you that a man came and he said to you, your soul is important to God. It's precious to God. It can die and go to hell. If you don't, your time on this earth is your opportunity to take your soul seriously. Yeah. This is the only time. After this time, you have no chance to change anything. You know, the rich man in the story of Lazarus, he was pleading with Abraham. He was telling Abraham, I'm tormented here. I'm tormented. Abraham said, hey, you had your chance. He says, son, thou had your chance, your lifetime of good things. Thou hast had your lifetime of good things. You had your lifetime to change everything. And Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things. You had a chance to change everything, but you never gave it any chance. And Lazarus had bad things, but he changed. He took care of his soul. And today, he's comforted. And you are tormented. May you never be in the group that will be sent to hell to be tormented. Don't be tormented. Number last one. Your soul is important because one day it will be required from you. One day it will be required from you. I've jammed some numbers, okay, so please don't criticize me in Zulu. I'm just working with the time they gave me. But one day your soul will be required from you. One day. Let's read a story from the Bible. Are you there? Luke chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 16. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he taught him to himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit." He said, "I've prospered so much. What am I going to do with all this prosperity?" Then he came up with an idea, next verse. And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I will store all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He said, "This is what I'm going to do. I'll tell myself, I have enough. I am okay. Take your ease. Eat. Drink. Celebrate. And be merry." Next verse. "But God said to him, thou fool." This night, God said to him, tonight. Tell your neighbor, tonight. He said, tonight. He said to him, tonight, your soul will be required from you. Tonight. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next month. Not next year. Tonight, your soul will be required from you. One day God will come and he will require our souls from us. One day God will come. He will not even give you notice. He will not even leave you to prepare. He will just arrive suddenly. No wonder the Bible says, Jesus the Lord will come like a thief at night. He will just arrive like a thief at night and demand your soul. Tonight. Tonight. Your soul. One day, Jesus will appear to you and will say, tonight. Your soul. So, but if Jesus says tonight, then I will get born again. I'll get born again before the night. You will not have the chance. That's why it says, if you hear my voice this day, harden not your heart, as they did in the day of the provocation. You will not have time. Now is the time. God has given us this time to make sure today, now, not tomorrow, not next week, today, now, right now, manje, manje, he has given us the chance to surrender our soul to him. Not tomorrow, not next week. No, not. You know, I tell you two stories and I close. First story, it was a Kenneth Hagin story. He said he was asleep. He told us a story of a guy who fell asleep. And in the sleep, he had a dream. And when he had the dream, in the dream, he went to hell. And when he went to hell, he saw his roommate from university in hell. He saw him in hell, languishing in hell. So when he woke up in the night, when he woke up, he said, in the morning, his friend was called Jim. In the morning, he will call Jim to warn Jim that you can go to hell. So in the morning when he woke up, he called his mother trying to locate Jim. When he called, I think he called his mother or Jim's mother. When he called trying to locate Jim, the mother said, "Oh, have you not heard?" It was Friday night. "Have you not heard?" So he woke up Saturday morning. So even the mother thought that it was because of the news. That's why he called. But when he called, he said, "Oh, I'm looking for Jim." Then the mother, "Have you not heard?" He said, "Have you not heard what?" He said, "Have you not heard? Have you not heard what?" He said, "Have you not heard that Jim was involved in an accident just this dawn?" When you were dreaming about Jim, Jim was had an accident and he had arrived in hell. Jim had an accident and had arrived in hell. There'll be no time for you to be warned. The time for your warning is now. The time for your notice is now. Not later. Now. Now. He said, "Look," he said, "when I will call my, I'll call my mother, I'll call his mother in the morning and warn Jim." When he called, he said, "Jim had an accident. We are just sorting out the accident." And Jim, he said, "Oh, I saw Jim in hell. I didn't come this morning to frighten you. Actually, I came with good news. The way you are looking at me, I said, who is this pastor who has come to frighten us? He's come to frighten, scare us so that we go to heaven. Why would I scare you into heaven? I came to warn you. I came to give us all an alert, both Christians and unbelievers alike, to give us an alert that it's time to turn your eye to God. It's time." Let's read the next scripture from here. I think from there we can get to that. It says, "So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." Didn't give attention to God. Maybe you are here this morning. Even as I'm preaching, your heart is beating. But because of your friend who's sitting next to you, you want to look the part. Let me put this thing down. You want to look the part. You want to be, I'm cool. I'm still okay. You just want to look the part. So because of your friend, it's like, let me turn a blind eye to it. One day your life will be demanded. Your soul will be required from you. One day. You may be surprised that your friend would have secured himself. Yeah. One day, somebody invited me to church. I didn't used to go to church. I used to go to church for money. Before then, I used to go to church for money. What do I mean I used to go to church for money? When I need money from my mother, then I'll go to church with her. When I go, anything the pastor says, I'll say yes. If the pastor says, "How many of you want to jump?" Yes. "How many of you want to give your life to Christ?" Yes. Anything. When I see people going for it, I also come for it. When we finish church, my mother will be so happy. Anything I need, she will give to me. Once she gives it to me, I'm okay. The next one is, "Oh, Daniel, it's time to go to church." I said, "What church?" "Are you not the one who lifted up your hand that you want to be a member of the church?" I said, "Me? When? Never, ever. That church, I would never come there. I don't like the pastor at all." 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, I'll need money again. Then by the time my mother is ready, I'm already dressed up. I've changed my mind. Now I like the pastor. Look, my mother took me to different types of churches. Churches that they lay hands, churches that they give you oil to drink, churches that they shake you, churches, any type. Just one that I will like. But one day, somebody invited me to church. I'm telling you about your friend. Then I decided to come. When I went, you see, I had been at a party the night before. And we came back around 4 a.m. Yes. Then I went for the church service around like 9 or 10. When I go to the church, I had a fair surprise. Guess what my surprise was? I'm going to tell you, you'll be shocked. I entered the church. I found somewhere to sit. They were doing praise and worship or something. Then people were dancing. So I saw the people dancing. So I started to look at those who were dancing. To my utter surprise and shock, I saw 3-4 of all my bad boy friends that I go partying and everything with. I was inside the church. I didn't look outside. I looked inside the church. Those people who were dancing, I saw them, my friends, all my, these my bad boys that I go chilling with. I saw them dancing. In the church, dancing, moving in the church, moving in the church, dancing. They knew all the dance moves. God is fighting for Aurora. They knew all of them. I look at them, I say, hey. I look at them, I say, no, these guys are not new in this church. Because if you come for the first time, you don't know the moves. You see, then they will do something, then they will do. And you don't, you can't, I mean, how many of you, today is your first time and you came to dance in there? You can't do that. When it's your first time, you try to settle a bit before, even if you are a dancer. But these guys, they knew the songs, they knew the dance moves, they knew everything. So I look at them like that, I say, ah. So as we are all chilling, they are securing themselves. And none of them told me that my friend, my brother, as for us, we know we are bad. But we are securing ourselves. As for you, you are bad and unsecured. You are driving without a seatbelt. Yeah. You'll be surprised that your friend will secure herself or secure himself. The friend you are trying to impress. Why? Because she wore her wig and gave you one to wear for today. You will see that she has secured herself. Maybe she's one of those my friends who were dancing in the church. When I saw, I thought we were all partying. From that day, I said, look, I also need to secure myself. And I've been securing myself from that day. 1994 up to today, I've been secure. 30 years, I've been securing myself. One day, your soul will be required from you. And your soul will not be required by your friend or by your mother or by your neighbor. It will be required by the person who made the soul, the person who breathed that soul into you. He will come to you and you say, what have you done with your soul? What did you do with your soul? I gave you a soul. I gave you 30 years on this earth. I gave you 60 years on this earth. I gave you 70 years on this earth. What did you do with your soul? What did you do with your soul? What did you do with that soul? I made you the owner of it for 40 years, for 50 years, for 60 years, for 80 years. What did you do? Today, I am requiring that soul. Account for that soul. Account for that soul. Number 10, I close with this one. Whichever number it is, it's the last one. Your soul can be saved if you ask Jesus to come into your life. That soul can be saved if you ask Jesus. I told you I'll tell you a second story, but time is gone. That soul can be saved if you surrender it to Jesus. Hebrews 10:38 and 39 says, but we are not of them that draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Your soul can be saved. Instead of allowing your soul to die to go to hell, that soul can be saved. That soul can be saved. Pastor, how can my soul be saved? Your soul can be saved by you asking Jesus to come into your heart to be the Lord of your life. By surrendering that soul to Jesus. We are not here in church today to play games. We know where to play games at. Moses Mabida is in Durban. The one here is called Harry Gwala is here. If it's games we wanted to play, we know where to play games. We know where to go and play PlayStation 2, FIFA, Xbox, all those things. We know where to go and play them. We didn't come to play. I came here to bargain for your soul because your soul is so important to God. Because your soul is important to God, it is important to me as well. I came to bargain for your soul so that you will give that soul to the Maker, to Jesus Christ, the Savior of our souls. 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 Yeah. I'm bargaining for your soul today. Church of God, What will you give in exchange for your soul? Is it a friend you will give in exchange for your soul? Is it goods you will give in? Is it a boy that you will give in exchange for your soul? Is it alcohol that you will give in exchange for your soul? So even if you take the whole world, it will still not be enough for that soul. Today, you can surrender that soul to Jesus so that that day when he comes and he requires your soul from you, you can say, oh, Jesus, man, I gave you my soul. I gave you my soul. I gave my soul to you. And I say, use my soul for what you want to use it for. I gave it to you. Today, I'm going to pray with you. In just a minute, I have 2 minutes to close. I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your heart for you to surrender your soul to him. My prayer is that you won't harden your heart. You won't become a difficult one and say, oh no, as for me, I don't think that today is the day. I think I'll do it next week. I think I'm too young. When I grow older, I will do it. Well, I think that I'm not ready. I have to go and sort out that my issue with Jojo. I have to sort out that my issue with this girl. I have to sort out the issue at home. Today is the time. If you hear his voice, harden your to your heart. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open up for me, I will come in with him and sup with him. To sup with him means I'll sit down and eat with him. Means I'll sit down and fellowship and have communion with him. Today, Jesus is calling for your soul. He's giving you a chance to escape judgment later. What will your response be? I want us to stand to our feet. Just quietly stand to our feet. And I want us to pray. I want to pray with you. Today, I've come your way with the word of God about your soul. Jesus said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm bargaining for your soul. I want to give you an opportunity. Now, for the next minute or so, I don't want movements. I don't want anybody going anywhere, moving around. I'm just about to close. Just be stable. If you want to wee, keep it in. If for this very moment, you are allowed to wee on yourself. We'll clean it up when you are gone. But I want you to concentrate. Concentrate on this very moment. Today, Jesus is asking. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Maybe you are here. He has knocked before and you didn't open the door. He has knocked twice. He has knocked 3 times. Today may be the final knock on your door. Maybe the final time. If you will surrender. Last year, I was in Zimbabwe. I was waiting to board a flight from Harare to Durban. As I was there, the flight was taking forever. I decided to go and buy a Coca-Cola. And I went to buy a Coca-Cola. I don't know, but somehow, I seem to have taken some time. When I was coming back, I noticed that everybody who was waiting with me for the flight had left the place. And I was the only man standing there. So I started to think of the possibilities. Because, hey, I need to buy. There are so many places you like to be stuck in, but not Zimbabwe. All due respect, but not Zimbabwe. So I started to think, how much money do I have in my account? Can I buy another ticket to get out of this place? Can I buy another ticket to get out of this place? I checked my bank balance and said that no. And I was traveling with another guy who was going to Cape Town. And he had to buy a fresh ticket. He had some technical problem. He had to buy a fresh ticket from there. So I had seen him buy a fresh ticket just about an hour ago to go to Cape Town. And here I was. The whole place was empty. Boarding gate empty. As I was standing there, I started to pray. I said, God, have mercy on me. I can't be stuck in Zimbabwe, please. I can't. That's how a lady came. When he came, she was angry. No, look, angry ladies, you. She was really angry. You see, she was angry in Shona. And when she came there, and then she looked at me, she said, are you Mr. Harley? I said, yes, I am. She said, come. And then she started to talk. I just wheeled my back behind her quickly, quietly. And she was talking. I'm sure she was cursing at me as we were going back. Because I don't speak Shona, I don't understand. So I just followed her quietly. Then she walked me to the flight. So when she got there, I turned back and said, God bless you. And I climbed onto the flight. That day, I realized that
that was a narrow escape. Now, have you watched that program called Banged Up Abroad before? Yeah, that was a narrow escape. I would have been left in Zimbabwe. Today, God is giving you a chance. You may think that I'll do it later, but later may be too late. You might just be left behind. I've traveled with people who have been left behind before, by the way. Left behind midway. Left behind. I traveled with a guy who was left behind in Dubai. Left behind in Dubai. One of the airports that when you get to, one day you'll be there. Don't take chances. That's Dubai airport. You take a chance, you'll be left behind. Oh yes. You pick a train in the airport, you'll be left behind. You'll be shocked. But they left him behind. Yeah, in Dubai. Today, do not be one of the people who will be left behind. I want to give you an opportunity to give your soul to Jesus. To give your soul to Jesus. With every eye closed, every head bowed. Now let's give each other some privacy. Please, all due respect, give your neighbor some privacy by closing your eyes. Closing your eyes. It's not a time to talk to one another. Allow everybody to make a decision for themselves. Today, you are here. You want to say, Pastor, I want to surrender my soul to Jesus. I don't even know what it means, but I don't want my soul to be lost. I want to surrender it to Jesus. You are here like that. I want to give you an opportunity. I want to just ask you quietly with your eye closed. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are standing. With your eyes still closed, just lift up your right hand where you are standing. Pastor, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want my soul to languish in hell. I want to give this life, this soul to Jesus. Lift up your right hand with me. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for. If you are lifting your hand, lift it high above your head. I want to pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. Please pray with me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I surrender my soul to Jesus. Lift up your right hand with me. Don't be tired. Lift it up. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. If your hand is up, I want you to do one more thing for me. I want you to come to me in the front. I want you to just come to me. Open your eye and come to me. You lifted up your hand. Just come to me. 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 Don't be shy. Come to me. Come to me. Come to Jesus. Pastor, I want to yield my soul to Jesus. I want to yield my... Don't stop anybody from coming. Don't stop. Let them think about themselves. Don't stop anybody from coming. Allow them to think about themselves. Let everybody make a decision for themselves. Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Oh, appreciate them, clap for them, encourage them as they come. Congregation, I want to give you one final opportunity. One final opportunity. You, as you are standing there, you know you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Never. Never. Today may be that last call. Today may be that final call to you to say, I want to give my soul to Jesus. I don't even know what will happen tomorrow. I don't even know what my life will be like. I don't know what. I don't even understand what it means. But I want to take this chance. I've taken a chance with work. I've taken a chance with business. I've taken a chance with school. I've taken a chance with sitting in taxis. I want to take a chance with Jesus. I want to take a chance with Jesus. You are here like that. I want to give you, as we sing this chorus, I want to give you one more opportunity. Come to the front. Come and join them. And let me lead you to Jesus to be the Lord of your life. To be the Lord of your life. To be the Lord of your life. To be the Lord of your life.
To see your face and say, I love you.
to be the Lord. This is the final call. This is the final call.
Well done, good and faithful.
This is my last call.
There's no one I love like you.
You can put your hand down if you are in front.
Can't wait to see your face.
Rest your hand, okay, please.
I love you.
Rest your hand.
Will you just smile and tell me, well done, good and faithful.
One more time, I'm nothing.
There's no one I love like you, Jesus.
There's no other love like you, Jesus. Can't wait to see your face and say, I love you.
Will you just
smile at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant.
There's no one I love like you, Jesus. Can't wait to see your face and say, I love you. Will you just smile and tell me, well done?
One more time. There's no one I love like you.
There's no one I love.
Lift your hands, just wave it to him.
Can't wait to see your face and say, I love you. Will you just smile and tell me, well done, good.
One more time, final time.
There's no one I love like you, Jesus.
Can't wait to see your face
and say, I love you.
Just smile at me.
Will you just smile and tell me,
well done.
Well done.
Clap your hands. You can clap for Jesus. It's free of charge. Doesn't cost anything. Wow. Wow. If you are in front here, I want us to pray a prayer. You know, you've made the best decision of your life to secure your soul. Remember those, my friends. When I step into the church, half awake, half asleep, half alert, half drunk, and I walked into that church, I saw my drinking friends. I saw my chilling friends. I saw my friends I used to play football with. They were securing themselves in the church. Yeah, I saw that. If we were playing soccer and then there was an earthquake and we died, I was the one who would go to hell because they had secured themselves. Today you have come to secure yourself. And you have come to secure yourself in the most sure security company. Amen. Jesus Christ's security company. Yeah. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And as we pray this prayer, I want you to mean the prayer. Take it seriously and pray it with me. The congregation, help us to pray. Say with me, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Say it boldly. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I come to you today.
Just as I am.
I accept that I'm a sinner.
Please forgive me
of all my sins. I believe you died for me and you rose again. I confess that from today, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus is my Savior. Lord Jesus, today I give you my soul. I give you my spirit. I give you my life. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Satan, Satan, from today, I no longer belong to you. I'm no longer your child. I'm no longer your friend. I'm a friend of Jesus. I'm a child of God. I will serve Jesus until the day I die. Now say, thank you, Jesus, for dying to save me. Amen. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. Father, thank you for all these ones who have chosen you today. In the presence of this whole congregation, they were not ashamed of you. They chose you. One day when you come in your glory, choose them, Lord. Choose them. As they publicly declare their faith for you, publicly choose them and select them. Secure them in your blood. Wash them and secure them in your blood. Keep them from the devil and from his tricks. May none of these ones fall away.
as you have paid a precious price for their souls. I pray for those who will shepherd them, that they will be filled with zeal to shepherd and to keep their souls for you. In the name of Jesus. Above all, you, Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, keep their souls. Let none of these ones fall away and languish in hell. We thank you for every single one of them. Break the yoke of the devil upon their lives. In any area of their lives that they are being tormented and troubled by the devil, break that yoke over their lives. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Oh, say amen. Are you not excited? Oh, today you have been secured.
Thank you for joining us. We believe you have been blessed by this life-transforming message by Bishop Daniel Harley. For more information, contact us at 204 Peter Kirchhoff Street, Pietermaritzburg, or call 083-773-1605. God richly bless you.